Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Folks across the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast are shoveling out of a major snowstorm today, in some cases up to a foot of it. Richard Foley's in Rhode Island.
This is very wet, heavy snow. You can't use a snowblower. You have to shovel. It's not fun.
The Pentagon confirms Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's headed home after suffering a bladder infection. CBS's David Martin.
He has now resumed the responsibilities he had to delegate to his deputy while he was in the hospital and will start off working remotely from home. Tomorrow, he will take part in a virtual meeting of the Ukraine Contact Group.
It was his second hospitalization following prostate cancer surgery. And some sad news this hour out of Hawaii, where police in Maui say 101 people have now died following last summer's wildfires in Lahaina. They just confirmed the identity of a 76-year-old man. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers' proposed district boundaries for the state legislature are on their way to his desk after passing both houses of the legislature this afternoon. Evers has said he'd sign the bill, and that would effectively close the maps lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The new maps would place 6 incumbent state senators and 15 state representatives in the same district ahead of this fall's elections. Local election officials in Wisconsin are preparing for safe and secure voting this year, but some say the state should do more to meet the growing demand for absentee and early voting.
The funding that we receive from the state and from the federal government hasn't increased to accommodate any of that.
Meredith Witzel Bale is the city clerk in Madison. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Overall, home sales in southeastern Wisconsin showed a year-to-year increase in January. But real estate experts say January 23 wasn't great to begin with. The Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors has released their January report, showing positive home sales numbers in almost every county. Despite slight upward trends, the experts say the lack of new construction on single-family homes and condos, coupled with the surge of millennial and Gen Z buyers, poses a significant challenge for thousands of would-be homeowners. Police believe that a drug deal gone wrong near a Lake Geneva park preceded last night's shooting. Investigators believe the shooter and the victim knew each other. The victim was hospitalized. Overnight, dogs and drones searched Lake Geneva for the gunman, who was rumored to have fled in a red or maroon Volkswagen. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks with another win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 112-95 win over the Denver Nuggets. Giannis with 36 points to lead Milwaukee. The Bucks improving their defense. It's the first time this season they've held opponents to under 100 points in back-to-back games. Doc Rivers.
Just steady progress, believing in your D, trusting it, clarifying it. Don Shula, you know, if you ever read his book, he always talked about the fastest player is the one that doesn't have to think. And the more we can get our guys to know exactly what we're doing, they can play at full speed. Simplify so we can play with fire.
Baseball pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. The Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy, talked about a roster without pitchers like Corbin Burns or Brandon Woodruff.
We're kidding ourselves to think that this thing's going to be decided on paper because we lost Burns and Woodruff. And, you know, it's getting the guys to understand that, you know, if you want to make it happen, it starts with you.
That's the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 20s. More sunshine than clouds for tomorrow, warmer with highs in the low 40s. Some rain developing tomorrow night, mixing with snow into Thursday morning, a dusting possible, then some clearing Thursday afternoon, high upper 30s and breezy. Right now it's 31.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Kern Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Kern Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, there it is. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators. Yeah, we talk education here. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If you haven't heard the news, Busted Pencils every night of the week, Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock Central Time. Make sure you're tuning in. The number's 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Civic Media, if you're not paying attention, it is just taking over the entire state of Wisconsin. I would say at this point, Anya, is there any place in Wisconsin that Civic Media isn't reaching?
You'd have to look pretty far and pretty wide to find some corner of this state that you can't hear us from. It's hard to hide from the waves of Civic Media now. We're everywhere. So I'd say no.
It's everywhere. It's spread. It's out there. It's grabbing. And then the other person, if you're on the Civic Media app, you can listen anywhere. L.A. Tom, right. We know L.A. Tom in Los Angeles is listening all the time to Civic Media. That's the best thing about the Civic Media app. It doesn't matter where you are. Just hit that app and you can listen to every one of your favorite shows, particularly us, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend? How's it going?
I'm good, man. It's Tuesday. You know, we're in the flow. Taught the teachers today, so I always enjoy, you know, my Tuesdays and Thursdays with the future teachers out here.
We have to prepare future. So you were teaching teachers about teaching.
Absolutely.
We're educated educators who talk education, and you were teaching teachers about teaching.
That's right, about elementary social studies curriculum. But then in general, today was one of the first days back. They've been in classrooms that they're going to be doing their student teaching in. Now they're back in here, and they have loads of questions, as any new teacher should.
Well, here's the question, though, Johnny. Do they know that the future is calling them? And in fact, from K-12 Dive, I highlighted this last Friday, but got to bring it up because it is getting so much attention. Article in K-12 Dive, the future is artificial intelligence. Question, Johnny, are the students ready? Let me just quote here, though, from the very beginning to Richard Collada. Students need to learn about artificial intelligence and its inner workings now. But even more critical, says the CEO of the International Society for Technology and Education, is that educators teach pupils not just about the technology, but how to partner with AI in their own work. Now, Johnny, we've done, you know, a decent amount of artificial intelligence shows. Largely talking about whether I'm using it, if people are using. Here, though, here's the piece saying students, are students ready? And, you know, I want to highlight just, you know, how do we help students understand the best uses? How do we rethink assessments? How do we provide PD for teachers that are going to be using AI, and how do we create guardrails as we're going through this? And I wanted to bring this forward to start talking about it because, you know, we've had conversations. Should we use it to write papers? Should we not? The reality, though, is at this point, it's out here. Kids are using it. Some teachers are using it. Some families are using it. How are we using it, though? And are people ready? And are teachers, Johnny, you're teaching teachers today. Has your curriculum, your syllabus for your teaching teachers started to implement artificial intelligence yet?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't use artificial intelligence to generate that. I mean, it could. We've experimented a little bit about that, but it absolutely is part of the teaching. And I told you earlier, Tim, I've been a little bit more of a naysayer.
I know you have. I know.
I mean, a little bit of a curmudgeon, a get off my lawn guy with the artificial intelligence. But really, and I come back to that comparison I made when we really first started talking about it on this show, because it was like, the AI is coming. The AI is coming. You know, we really started to chop that up. And it reminds me so much of integrating calculators into teaching math, looking at software that, you know, did computations and did sort of some of the really cool things, like even if we're to talk about like Photoshop and using, you know, editing softwares to do graphic design and to do photography stuff. It is a technology tool that is going to be part of most industries, if not all of them. I don't want to just blanket that, you know, all is kind of a wide casting, you know, word to throw in there, but it's going to be part of everyday life. So I think it's really exciting to think that not only are we talking about our teachers ready and thinking about what it means for how they teach, but students for how they learn, because I think there's, like we did with calculators, there's a case to be made that there's a tool that's very useful and helpful, but also we want to be creative and think. And so how do those two things work together?
Good questions right there, Johnny Lupinacci out there. Whoa, Cam, right away from Nina. Cam, you're on the line. Artificial intelligence. No, Cam, you are not an artificial intelligence bot, are you, Cam?
No, I'd be way smarter. I actually dropped out of college.
Hey, Cam, what's happening, man?
Hey, so while I may have dropped out of college, I actually work in IT and have for, I think I'm getting pretty close to 10 years.
Okay.
I am a DevOps, I don't know if you would call it like a senior DevOps technician. And I'm also a developer and I own my own game studio and I'm working on releasing a game. Those two things are completely unrelated, but my reason for calling in is, and providing that info is to say that I kind of do know what I'm talking about with some of this. These AI language models that do exist right now, I kind of think that they do need to be integrated, but for any of the teachers out there, they have to not fall for the bait that is any of these services saying that they can detect if a student used AI. Those simply do not work. Yep. They are lying to you. It has never worked. It's not possible. The best way you can get your students to not use AI to generate their entire thing is to get them to show their versioning history inside of their documents if they're writing them on the computer.
Listen to this, Cam. I love it, man. My brother calling in and dropping knowledge. That is super helpful. Teachers out there listening, Cam is 100% correct. This is good pro tip, Cam. Thank you.
Well, Cam, think about it. It's undetectable, and I've tried to say that. I gave a presentation here on my campus to college faculty, and I put out there, Cam, and I'm going to have to invite you to my campus to make that statement. I put out there, and because this comes from Ethan Mollick at Penn University, who has said, look, artificial intelligence is undetectable. And it will continue to move down that line. If anybody tells you there is a software or some kind of system out there that can, quote, detect artificial intelligence, not true, because it is undetectable. Johnny, I got pushback from my faculty, or they're like going, oh, no, we can catch it. We know for sure. And I said, I don't know that you know for sure. potentially, should you have a sense, and you know, John Warner, one of our guests, has put this out, should you have a sense of how your students write, and that you might be able to understand that their writing style has changed drastically? That's probably detectable. But what Cam's saying here, though, too, is if you think you're going to feed in a passage that a student turns into you, and it's going to say, whoop, ChatGPT-4, Bard 3.9, Claude 7.6. No. It's not going to happen.
There's no lazy way out of this. I'll just put it out there. Like, this is one of those tools that puts us as educators in a role of having to just be more responsible to know students' work. It's also an argument when we're talking about, you know, we can't completely automate the classroom. You have to kind of get to know your students. There is importance to that, like class size and things, because then you can detect that. And I love what Cam offered. Share the version histories, right? Share how you use this tool, how you revised, how it helped you think. Like, that's a learning process that integrates the technology in with the learning.
Well, so Cam, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Make sure you give us more and more calls and put it out there, everybody. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk every day of the week. 844-967-2789 is the number if you want to jump in and give us a call. How are you using artificial intelligence? Well, Johnny, back to the article, though. I just got to put this, you know, here's the quote from Richard Collada, again, from the International Society for Technology and Education. Quote, every kid that graduates today is going to work on a team where not every member of their team is human. How do you work on a team where not all members are human? How do you know what tasks to hand off to the non-human counterparts? Does that creep you out, man, to think about that? But, or is this just a fact? It's like, look, you go into the workplace and, you know, here's the thing. Education is a lot about workforce development. People leaving school today, going out into the workforce, according to this article, some of your team members are going to be artificial intelligence. So teachers out there, are you helping students be prepared for their artificial intelligence team member? Johnny, are you ready for an artificial intelligence team member?
No, but I'm learning. I'm learning all the time, and it's great, because one of the things I was talking with teachers today about is one of the great things about becoming a teacher and being a great teacher is that you're open to always learning. We say that in a lot of professions, but you have to be flexible and you have to adapt and you have to be open to learning that there are different ways people learn, and then tasks often change. How we do things change. It's dynamic. And this is one of those moments where educators out there, for the most part, are learning how to work with AI. Also, workforce is learning. We're all learning. Now, I'll like, side note, technological developments move much faster than our often our human capacities and structures to adapt. So there's a little bit of a lag time. I'll use it like a technology term for us humans. There's a little bit of lag time and adjustment, but it's exciting because, yeah, I'm still in the learning phase. So what can this stuff do? Like, how can we best utilize our creative capacities as humans and get those human tasks delegated and assigned, and then lean on AI where we can responsibly integrate this technology? And I think it's going to really increase the quality of stuff that's out there.
Johnny Lupinacci, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The future is artificial intelligence. Are students ready? Well, when we get back, helping students understand its best use. And Johnny, for this, rethink assessments. More artificial intelligence Busted Pencils back.
Yes, sir.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Civic Media and The Shaw 101 FM presents
the Max Inc. Radio Concert Series featuring Iron Plow.
Iron Plow with special guest Bony Fingers, Friday, February 16th at Maddie's Bar and Music Lounge, 200 Madison Street in Waukesha. This is a free event. The Max Inc. Radio Concert Series with Iron Plow and Bony Fingers, presented by Civic Media, The Shaw 101 FM, and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right.
Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on The Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for matinee on air.
There are lots of days that go by. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The future is artificial intelligence. Are students ready? We're looking at an article coming out of K-12 Dive asking that question. Great call last segment from Cam. Cam, though, sent us back in a text and puts down there, he will also add that LLMs, that's large language models, are excellent at teaching topics for people like him who have severe ADHD. It can put nearly everything into incredibly digestible, customized formats. Johnny, powerful stuff right there to think wow. about that. The ability to take and you know, this is a is it an adaptive technology then in that sense, or are we using it as an adaptive technology?
I mean, it can be. I mean, arguably, that's good tech. Like, good technology is something that adapts, you know, information for us in that way. It helps bring, it complements like our human experience. And so, man, I love Cam's contributions today. Like, Cam, call all the time, and we love that you're listening. And I know you're working on your game, but man, Cam should be a teacher.
Well, and look at producer Anya, I do that too. Okay, Anya, jump in. So you use artificial intelligence to break stuff down?
I have been more and more recently. So I've started doing something really weird with GPT 3.5, the free one, which is sometimes I just jump in with it and I say, like, hey, what can you do in regards to like music? I learned that GPT could make chip tunes of like songs that are copyright free and things. So I just have started asking it, like, what can you do? And it was explaining these different things. So I've started putting in articles that I'm reading, especially articles where it's like, I appreciate that the author added all this personal information about themselves, but maybe I really only need to know how to change a tire from this article and not, you know, how their granddad taught them to do it and all that. So I'll sometimes copy and paste it into GPT and say, hey, can you just make a bullet point list of like the facts that are in this article? And it helps me sort of skim off the top. It sounds so inhumane to do this, but when an article just has maybe too much fluff around it, and I'm like, wait, no, what's the facts of this? What are you claiming? GPT has really helped me to break that down. And I can even ask it after the fact, like, hey, you said that she mentioned that this is part of the process for changing the tire. Say more about what that article had to say. It's like, oh, yeah, so here are more details about that. It just helps me digest so much info that with ADHD, if I just look at the screen and it's just a wall of text, my heart rate ticks up and I'm like, I'm going to miss stuff. I can't afford to, you know, not understand this whole thing. GPT's there to help me. So, yeah.
Well, there it is. It breaks it down. And one of the adaptive technology uses that really put out there, and I've done this, and this works much better with the ChatGPT-4, the paid version, but writing a prompt to actually create a learning tutor. You can ask ChatGPT to become your tutor. Tell it, you know, how old you are, tell it what you're interested in studying in. And what it does too is when you frame it that way, and kind of going back to Cam's ideas, it will create a tutoring session where it takes the information and chunks it into digestible frames so that people have an opportunity to understand better. The other thing that I did with this prompt and for learning was, as I said, you know, please provide multiple examples when you're explaining a new concept. And Johnny, that's just good teaching, right? When you're teaching and you're looking out there and you see a kid and they're like, they just don't get it. you know, the solution to helping a student get it is not pay a darn attention to me and listen, darn it. It's like, wait a minute, let me help you maybe reframe or relook at this. That's good teaching. The fact that you can have artificial intelligence literally coming out with multiple perspectives or multiple ways of trying to understand something, that's just good teaching and learning right there, you know?
Yeah, and I just throw in there that there are limits to it. So kind of teaching and navigating those things and modeling that helps us. Again, I said we have a lag in our human capacity to adapt to how these technologies change the landscape of the work we do. So we want to be really transparent about that. Like, there are limits to this. Let's test the limits. Let's see what they are. What are the shortcomings? How do we know how to best use this tool together? And what are the decisions that are still really human and important for us to be making and to be skilled at making? We got Joanne on the line, though. Let's go before we go
there
to break.
There she is. I knew Joanne was going to come in. That's Dr. Orr. Dr. Joanne, how are you?
Really good. Oh, great discussion. Just a quick point to add, though. I'd be very, very afraid as a teacher in the process of allocating how much to assign to students, how many tasks, because, again, if you know how to do your prompts, if you know how to use ChatGPT, you can go through a lot of work really, really quickly. And those students who maybe would like to do a few assignments without the help of AI would be set behind. I mean, really, really set behind. So, again, with assessment, the whole process, how much can you assign students to do and how much to grade them on with or without the help of ChatGPT or other generative AI tools.
Nice point. Joanne, so what about this point, though, that I was kind of, it's kind of simple, but I see a lot of critics talking about this from the standpoint of saying, hey, if you're giving assessments and assignments that are, you know, easily ChatGPT or whatever, you know, artificial intelligence, then you need to change the nature of your assignments and your assessments. I see Joanne, yeah, she's not there anymore. But, you know, that's the question here, Johnny. So, you know, one of these points in the article is that we have to rethink assessments now. We have to, and so for anybody who's listening going, assessments, quizzes, tests, ways that we have students provide examples that they've learned something. If you're giving an assignment that typically for the longest time required students to just give back the facts or to explain something they just read, and as Anya pointed out, well, they can easily have ChatGPT read that and give you a nice 3-sentence summary. So then you're starting to say, how do we ask students to do different assignments, different tasks, different quizzes to prove that they're learning? Because, you know, as Cam let us know in the first part of the show, it's undetectable. And maybe the reality is that we need to create assessments that don't necessarily lend themselves to large language models, or the possibility, and I saw there's a great example here, maybe we can use this to create multiple answers, and then from the multiple answers, we will go out and determine the best ones. Stephen Thomas, how will artificial intelligence impact standardized testing? Coming across, I guess that came across on the YouTube channel.
Those are
right
from
now.
Our YouTube live stream. You can comment on any of our live streams and we can see it. So jump in on the conversation, y'all.
Yep.
How will it change? I love that question. I hope it makes them go away permanently, Johnny. That would be my thought. You're not looking too happy about that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the whole idea of like our standardized testing is sort of a precursor to an AI world, right? It's like before the AI sort of had these like very fixed tests with correct outcomes and with data that, you know, can be some sort of output of in the form of a measurement. And so I think it's like, I'd like to see, you know, testing also adapting and AI pushing that, because, you know, if it's as simple as it's something that can be answered by artificial intelligence, then is it important for our kids to really learn? Right.
And so I don't know.
It's going to expose
Johnny Lupin,
that stuff.
He's asking the hard questions, providing teachers for PD when we get back, artificial intelligence.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Wednesday at 9 a.m. for my conversation with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. I'm Earl Ingram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Marshfield Clinic is expanding its labor and delivery facilities in Eau Claire. Marshfield says its obstetrics unit is going from 8 beds to 20. The expansion would mean jobs for some of the more than 1,400 people who are losing their jobs as two hospitals and several clinics in western Wisconsin are set to close. Governor Evers says conditions are getting better in Wisconsin prisons. Evers partially lifted lockdowns in November that had been in place in spring. Evers recently visited the state prison in Green Bay.
Is everything perfect there? Absolutely not. Are people doing the best they can under the circumstances? Absolutely, yes.
Evers tells WISN-TV's Upfront that more people are training to be prison guards since the state raised their pay last summer. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A familiar name will be on the Milwaukee ballot later this year. Milwaukee County Treasurer David Cullen, in office since 2014, plans to seek re-election this year, facing off against Ted Chisholm in the Democratic partisan primary. Chisholm, son of Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, recently announced his candidacy. The partisan primary is August 13th. A woman wanted in both Milwaukee and Kenosha counties has been arrested in Louisiana. Crystal Kaiser is awaiting trial in Kenosha for allegations that she killed a man and set his house on fire in 2018, which she claims was in self-defense. She was arrested by Milwaukee police last month for allegedly assaulting a man in her apartment, again asserting self-defense. The U.S. Marshals found Kaiser and the man she is accused of assaulting in Louisiana after she failed to appear in court. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Super Bowl halftime show featuring Usher has been met with mixed reviews, some calling it amazing and some lackluster. History will decide. Some heavy musical hitters joined Usher on stage like Alicia Keys and Ludacris. In a related story, there was a notable absence from said show. In news from the world of people who need more in their lives, Justin Bieber fans are irate that he was not part of the star-studded halftime show cast Saturday night. Entertainment gossip network TMZ leaked rumors that it might happen, but obviously didn't. That's the problem when you listen to a gossip site and don't understand the function of the word maybe. The Beliebers took to whatever Twitter is called now to voice their displeasure, and to give credit where credit is due, many even used proper grammar. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 20s. More sunshine than clouds for tomorrow, warmer with highs in the low 40s. Some rain developing tomorrow night, mixing with snow into Thursday morning, a dusting possible, then some clearing Thursday afternoon, high upper 30s and breezy. Right now it's 31.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I just want to let the music keep playing. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education. 844-967-2789 is the number if you want to call The future is artificial intelligence. Our students ready. Great calls from Cam, Joanne, Stephen putting in the YouTube feed. Standardized testing, Johnny. We kind of left that there. I want to also prompt, you know, have we heard about, are we even ready for the singularity event? Just in case any geeks are out there wondering, you know, is the singularity right around the corner? And if you don't know about that, then the question of are students ready? No, they're not ready if they're not ready for the singularity. But Johnny, standardized testing, artificial. Go ahead, man.
I don't know. Like my conspiracy theory flag goes up with singularity theory. So I'm just like, okay, careful. Because, but I like that you bring it up, Tim, because I think AI, the discussion around AI, especially around learning, and especially how it relates to us as human and how we relate to it. It's kind of it lends itself to that sort of red flag I have for conspiracy theories. Like I love divergent ideas. Singularity theory is a divergent idea. I think it pushes us to think about it. It prompts these kinds of questions. But I see a lot of like headlines or people talking about or asking questions in terms of like, is AI the next stage of human evolution? And it's like, whoa, we're blending technology and biology in a really kind of messy way. And like, it's a tool. We created it. It remains like to see how we utilize it, how it integrates into our daily lives and workplaces. It's going to change things. How that, like what those impacts are, we don't entirely know, but we can make some predictions around. But also it's not evolutionary. Right? It's not biological. It's a mechanized tool that is only as smart as it was programmed to be. And there's some really bright and amazing humans out there who are contributing to that. And in fact, we all are, as we're generating sort of content that goes into data somewhere that gets, you know, chewed up and integrated into what constitutes artificial intelligence. But it's very human run. Right. It's based on still humans contributing content.
I think I like to have the example that when I'm providing to it is that a reality check to all those really incredibly smart people. When I feed AI, I bring it back down a level to normality right there, because it's like, well, this dude is not that bright, man. We got to slow it down for Tim here. The number is 844-967-2789. Singularity, if you have any thoughts. I'll come back on this. But Johnny, one of the things... teachers, you know, the students are using it. We always know this when you're talking about technology, the kind of lag time you talked about it. Okay, if you're just getting to it and you're a teacher, your students already know about it, have used it, and may have even traded it and sold it a few times before you even knew that you could use this technology. That's what's happening with artificial intelligence. If you are a teacher out there, do you even know where to go to be prepared to teach with artificial intelligence? I'm going to give you an example, Johnny. I'm going to be teaching a class here on campus, artificial intelligence for academic majors. And I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I got a little bit of a pushback. Somebody goes, hey, you're not a computer scientist. How are you qualified to teach artificial intelligence, Tim? I mean, you're a teacher. Like, well, okay. Well, I have a PhD in curriculum instruction. Curriculum and instruction would mean I have an expertise in designing and implementing learning activities. What I'm doing with artificial intelligence in this class is saying it's a learning tool. And therefore, as a learning tool, we absolutely have to engage it. I don't need to be an expert in computer science. I don't need to be an expert in machine learning. What I need to be, though, is that here's another tool that can help us potentially solve problems. And for the standpoint of somebody in college, how is artificial intelligence going to, and is it already being incorporated into your major, into the workforce? We can use artificial intelligence as a tool to help answer that question. Teachers, professional development, in the K-12 dive piece, though, too, there's a link here, and we'll try to put it up in the show notes. K-12 Generative Artificial Intelligence Readiness Checklist that is put out there. There's a good link to this where if you are thinking about this, you know, are you ready? Is your school ready? What do you need for professional development if artificial intelligence, if your kids are already using it, what is it that you would need to be professionally developed around? Is it, you know, ChatGPT 3.5? Do you know what prompt engineering means? Do you know the difference between Bard? Do you know that Bard is actually, Bard is kind of met a death here this week because there's Anya's agreeing with me. You see, I pay attention. Yeah. Bard was replaced. So
by
artificial intelligence.
It's new. Yeah, by Gemini.
Who, artificial intelligence can be replaced? My goodness. So artificial intelligence is losing jobs to artificial intelligence. Who knew it was going to get that bad? That sounds like a singularity event to me. Johnny, what kind of professional development do you think how your future teachers or anybody out there, what do we need to do with this, man? Like, where's the biggest opening? And I say this, where's the biggest opening to go into a school and say, you know what? There's a new tool. There's a new technology. Let's dig in. How do we do that?
I mean, Tim, I think we approach it similar to other learning technologies, right? We have to do some research on it. I think that's always really important to learning scientists out there can do that work, right? That's the important role of researchers, you know, to do those studies. But we also have to just as I think responsible teachers ask questions like, what are we teaching? How are students learning it in terms of how are they being introduced to it, practicing it and applying it, right? And then what role does AI play in that? I mean, Anya in the chat shared a really, really good resource that teachers might like out there. There's an AI for that. I'll type it in. There's an AI for that.com, you know, kind of helps point towards that. But I think we need to immerse in it. We need to play with it, see what limitations there are, what kind of information or what kinds of, learning aids does it provide to any lesson or activity we're doing in a classroom. It's part of most learners' lives, especially I would say, you know, upper elementary, middle school, high school, for sure. Absolutely in college. You know, I do like a little poll in all my college courses. You know, who's using AI and who's using it for what and how we're using it. Everyone's using it in some capacity. So, You know, I think Cam brought that up when he said, you know, like there is no way to detect it and it's being used in a lot of ways. And I think like we've talked about it before, Tim, when I was sort of jokingly a naysayer on this, you know, but, you know, just asking some questions around like, hey, how is this just not a glorified Google? You know, I can tell you, how's this different than Alexa? You know, I ask a question and she answers it. You know, it is really not that different, although it's adapted quite a bit and it's integrated into so many of the technologies that are part of our everyday life, whether it's sort of like auto filling in or sort of predicting what we want to say in an email or helping us to digest information or part of like a text app that we're using. You know, it is integrated in with the technologies that are part of our everyday life. So I think it starts with, in terms of professional development for teachers and for educators, it's really getting to understand what the technology is, what its capacities are in terms of its strengths and limitations, and how does it complement good learning in your content area or in what you're teaching.
Have you shown your future teachers Magic School AI?
I haven't shown them Magic School AI. No.
Oh, Johnny, come on. It's beyond ChatGPT. I want to challenge you though, man. I keep pushing you on this. You keep saying I'm still not convinced it's more than a glorified Alexa. I think it is way different than a glorified Alexa. I just see it as, and I'd say maybe it's my framing on this, but I see search engines as fact gatherers. I see them as going out and finding a whole bunch of information. I see artificial intelligence, particularly if you get the versions that are, you know, a little bit upper level, the ability to enter into a very dialogical discussion. And, you know, no, I do not believe I'm talking to an intelligent sentient being, but its ability to engage back and forth in an iterative process, a generative process, you know, that's different than search engineing for information to me.
So that I'll push back at that, Tim, because I'm not saying it's a search engine, but it's utilizing maybe an advanced form, maybe adding machine learning to that. Right. It's gathering. I know we say facts. We should probably say that loosely. It's gathering data that's out there in the internet somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm dating myself now calling it the internet, so I'm being a little bit funny, but it's data that's out there. It's still human generated information, whether mm-hmm. it's factual or not is kind of part of the scary thing. I mean, hopefully the process itself lends itself to sort of correcting as it goes, in terms of there are humans who are like, wait, that's not correct information, or that's not consensus on that matter. But it's only as powerful as there is information and data out there for it. Like, we think about voice recognition stuff, right?
Why is that different than me, a brain? I can't have a dialogical discussion unless I've learned something. You're just essentially telling me that this is just that it is fully reliant on us giving it knowledge. What I'm saying is the different, its ability to give us back that knowledge that has been, and I agree with you, 100% programmed by us. It didn't think of anything on its own. It didn't think, but its ability to give it back to us in novel and unique ways is very different than search engineing. That's
sure. My point. It's an advanced form of it, right? It serves a different purpose, like the purpose of search engine. But even some of the search engines start to implement this sort of technology early on, in terms of it was beginning to think what you wanted, right? Mm-hmm. And based on other things, other data collected on, say, what you've used on your internet or what you talked about while it was recording, you know, that you're talking about, hey, I'm in the market for a new mattress. Okay, well, your phone heard you say that, and there is, you know, vocal gathering information out there, and it's putting that into data out there. And so it's targeting you. When you go to search, it's going to help streamline that process, speed you up towards, oh, Tim started to type mattresses. He's been talking about being in the market to buy a new mattress. Okay, so let's just speed this up and assume what he wants, right? It's sort of a technology that I know some people say is a little bit scary, but it's incredibly useful, especially if we know its limitations. Like, we know that that's happening, but it's still only, like you said, it's still only as intelligent as the information humans are feeding it.
Right. There's the big difference between when we talk about, though, the singularity event, Johnny. Do you understand what that means? I got to put it out there. I mean, this is what we're doing. Singularity event. When generative AI, not when generative AI becomes the Borg or becomes the Terminator. And I think that's where some people get really like, that's not going to happen. Nothing to worry about here. The singularity is, though, is when can generative intelligence, artificial intelligence, have the ability to potentially be smarter than us, truly smarter than us?
I think technically, right, it's not so much smarter than us. It's when the singularity event, right, is when technological advancement leads to, you know, uncontrollable technology, right? Like, it's completely out of control. Like, it's completely, you know, beyond the capacity of our human ability to be contributing to it or to think or act differently. Like, it's sort of like box this in. I think it's a hypothetical future that's exciting to talk about, but I think it's also like, again, the math calculator, like saying, you know, oh, pretty soon people aren't going to be able to do mathematics. You know,
I
think it's more of like a scare story than it is a reality. But maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know, Johnny, but when we get back, we got to ask this question, though, too. I love this from the article. The skills we're teaching in schools are not aligned with the skills needed to thrive in a digital world. What a mess schools are in. More after the break.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
2024 is a leap year. It may just mean an extra day to some, but here's Bob Bonadura with the Milwaukee Public Museum's Planetarium.
So we orbit the sun in 365.25 days, meaning we have leap day February 29th every 4 years.
So our orbit around the sun isn't a perfect number of days. Bonadura says this was figured out for the first time 2,000 years ago.
I think of Julius Caesar back 2,000 years ago was the first calendar to have a leap day because our orbit is actually a little less than 365.25. It's 365.2422. The calendar got out of whack by 11 days, 1582. So imagine living 1582, October 4th. The next day was October 15th.
A new calendar created in the 1700s moved the leap day to February. Until next time, I'm Terry Ball.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We are Busting Pencils!
You gotta love those kids. Of course they're Busting Pencils. Everybody is. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It is Busting Pencils. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Looking at an article in K-12 Dive, the future is artificial intelligence, and are students ready? Taking a look here, I don't know what the answer is, but we got a lot of work to do on this. Talking a little bit about the singularity. Hey, if you have a better description of the singularity, we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. But Johnny, you know, to the end of this article here, and we've been quoting the Richard Collada, who is part of he's the CEO of the International Society for Technology and Education. And he puts this kind of quote out here. He says, we can say what not to do all day long. In other words, we don't use AI, but you can't practice not doing something. And if you want good skills, you have to practice doing something. The skills we're teaching in schools are not aligned with the skills needed to thrive in the digital world. And that's a huge mess we have to fix in schools. I think that's pretty powerful stuff, and I think that we can use that for a lot of things. We do not teach kids this. I would even say the skills, particularly this one, to me, this is the indictment. If we are teaching kids to quote, find the main idea, and if we're then their inability to find the main idea, we're turning that into learning loss and saying that the world is falling apart. What we're looking at here, though, is going, so therefore you're not teaching reality, things that are meant to be. Schools are kind of a mess in that sense, which, you know, little prompting of the show tomorrow, you know, our friends from Educators Amplified, Joanna and Hallie, are going to come on there and kind of talk to us about some of the old things that that still to this day continue to haunt education. But Johnny, I mean, are we here in this point that, you know, from the artificial intelligence, we got a lot of work to do, and a lot of what we teach in school is kind of irrelevant?
Maybe how we teach it and what we're assessing it. I think that some of the irrelevant information or the ways we do it will be exposed. I think pretty exposed is kind of a nice way of saying, like, blatantly obvious. But I think the core content of meaningful things that we teach, whether it's in all of our different content areas or the things that we are expert at teaching, I think that's there. I think the method's going to change and the application is changing as well. And I think that's going to bring to the surface, this technology will bring to the surface some of the busy work that's really not that important.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. I mean, here we are. One other thing too, just with this guardrails, which is, you know, what are the guardrails? What are the things we need to be cautious about? And again, back to the article, and they say, quote, we encourage teachers and administrators to use AI to solve problems they are trying to solve, but with the understanding that if you're putting something into AI, be careful what you load into it, because guess what? You could be exposing very confidential information. For example, here they say an individual education plan. The tendency or the possibility of saying, wow, why don't I feed this IEP from Johnny in here and ask artificial intelligence to come up with some great ideas that would work with this IEP? That actually, I could hear somebody going, that's a great idea. What a great use of artificial intelligence. If you're using Gemini, Chat, Claude, that is a fully open to the rest of the world. You have put confidential private data into an open source. Be careful. And they're right there. How many people are thinking that way, Johnny, to be concerned about, geez, I didn't think that feeding that information into it would put me at risk. You know, thinking about what is it about my students? And I've heard teachers make a point to say, I've got this one student who could really, really, I need to figure out. And they start, and I said, okay, look, if you're going to frame that as a prompt, and I think it's a really cool idea to use artificial intelligence to, quote, brainstorm learning ideas for the way certain students might approach things, whether it's Anya said and Cam said ADHD, you got to be careful, though, to not talk about real students with real data points, because you are putting that out there to the world. And guess what? You're not allowed to do that. How many people have had those types of guardrails? How many teachers, how many parents, how many of us are out there even thinking, whoa, I didn't even realize that that would be it. And I think from a school district standpoint, John, you remember when artificial, like Facebook and different things like that on the school networks, they shut them out. They like filtered them out so that schools, you know, kids couldn't get access. If you were on the school district web, you know, the internet server, something like that, all the questionable sites, because you know that if kids could get onto some sites, that what they would be looking at all day long. There's a little bit of a consideration here that actually artificial intelligence, as it continues to grow, you're going to see more school districts using it, but using it in a very specific way that is very controlled and that only is a closed access artificial intelligence as opposed to an open access artificial intelligence. And as they say here, a walled garden is the kind of metaphor that they're using for what artificial intelligence will look like, to get away from and putting up those guardrails that really protect students from, you know, personal data being exposed, and even teachers, administrators who might unknowingly not think about, my goodness, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to share that information. If you're doing it on a closed system, there's protection there. So if you're using ChatGPT 3.5, 4, Gemini, Claude, and you're a teacher and you're digging deep for some great stuff, remember, hypotheticals, situations, create scenarios, create situations in your classroom that you've seen. Tell it about that. Give it all kinds of information. On rainy Tuesdays, when school lunch is going to be nothing but hamburger gravy, and all of my kids come in having eaten sourhead warheads, what is the best reading activity I should be giving to students on Tuesday mornings that are rainy when hamburger gravy is on the list? Johnny Lupinacci, a lot going on here. Artificial intelligence, man.
It's exciting.
Come back, though, tomorrow. Educators Amplified are going to be here. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. Old stuff that just keeps coming back. Busted Pencils. See you tomorrow.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS.